continued coverage of Co-op Solutions Think Conference here in Chicago, Illinois. And look who I have in the studio lounge, Mr. Rob Goodwin from Co-op. How are you, sir?
Great, Mike. Great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Better now that you're here.
That's awesome. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, before we get into the topic at hand, payment strategy, tell me how the show is going for you. I think we're in the last day, dare
last
I say?
Day. Okay. Day four, but yeah. Who's counting?
Home stretch, as they say.
Yeah, it's been great. Certainly being back in person, you know, we went virtual the last 2 years.
Yeah, you guys did a great job going virtual as well.
Thank you. Yeah, we adapted really quickly. Yep. And actually in 2020 had a virtual thing, you know, after we had to cancel this one, or the in-person.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's been great, obviously, seeing everybody in person. Mm-hmm. And there's, as much as we did adapt and did that well, mm-hmm. Nothing's better than in person.
Right? I couldn't agree more.
It really, so it's nice to see clients and colleagues and, mm-hmm. and folks like you.
Clients, colleagues, and keynotes.
That's good.
So cool. Anything stand out for you, actually? I mean, speaking of keynotes and things like that, anything stand out?
Yeah, you know, member centricity is one of our big themes this year. And okay. I think even if you've seen, we have diverse speakers from, you know, someone that helped invent the iPhone, somebody that devised the Net Promoter Score. So interesting things, not necessarily just credit union specific, but mm-hmm. Just that member centricity piece, really important, is everything we're talking about with digital and fintech competition, all those things.
Well, and how the data will help you get to that.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about a payment strategy here. So what are some challenges to interchange income for card issuers these days?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you really kind of go up to 10,000 feet and you look at non-interest income and interest income, and mm-hmm. all the pressure on interest income from historically low spreads, and now even as rates are rising, volume's an issue, right? I'd love to buy a car. I need to. But I can't, right? The car's not available. So even right. things like that are just a challenge with lending right now puts more pressure on non-interest income to pick up some of the slack there. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so big source of non-interest income, of course, is debit interchange, credit interchange. But we just came out of a session today talking about debit interchange.
Oh, okay.
Just opportunities there to drive more usage and certainly mm-hmm, the resulting mm-hmm. income there.
Mm-hmm. And so this was, you were in a session, right?
That's right.
Okay, and so tell us a little bit about that. Give us some highlights there and what you talked about in that.
Yeah, we talked about historically some things that have happened since the Durbin Amendment was enacted in 2011, at least when the Federal Reserve came out with the interpretation and the rules. Just some of the things that have happened there with interchange and usage. Interchange has ticked down a little bit, but usage has certainly exploded over the last 11 years. And then we just talked about different strategies for maximizing income opportunities mm-hmm, mm-hmm. with interchange, whether it's based on contractual or, again, member usage and the type of behaviors that they have, certain merchant categories and those sorts of things.
Well, you talked about some contractual best practices for credit unions to keep in mind. Can you go through a few of those as well?
Yeah, so one of them is certainly just from an awareness perspective. A lot of times, network agreements, they tend to be... I don't want to say forgotten, but you know, if you ask someone when their core expires, they'll know. If you ask them when digital expires, they'll know.
Those major things, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, well, how about this network? We have to find that contract. And so a lot of times what happens is they're not up maybe when they thought they were, or they might have thought they were coterminous with processing if the network, let's say, came from a processor, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but it turns out they're not, right? They're up 2 or 3 years later. Mm-hmm. So you need to have control of those options so that if you do want to make a change or at least analyze and understand mm-hmm. where the income and expense is coming mm-hmm, from, mm-hmm. you need to be in control of those agreements. So that's one of the big things we talked about contractually, is just getting a handle on that, especially because of Durbin, and you have to have at least one unaffiliated network outside of the card brand. You know, Visa or MasterCard mm-hmm, on the front mm-hmm. and an unaffiliated PIN network on the back. And so,
is it a tracking thing? I mean, is it a tracking issue, I guess? Or am I coming in from left field?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. It is. And like
just
I said,
kind of keep tracking of all that. Keep tracking
right. And a lot of times these network agreements, you know, they could have been a one or two page or tied to ORR. So that they're not necessarily, again, you tend to think of core and digital and payments, you know, big agreements.
Right, right.
Might be, you know, pages upon pages. Sometimes these were just single or two-page agreements. They might go back 20 years.
It's
an awareness, like you said, a tracking concern.
Gotcha.
Just to make sure that you're preserving your options as a credit union mm-hmm, if mm-hmm. you want to make a change, or at least understand, again, the expense and the income side, and then, you know, plotting your way forward.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So what do you believe is the biggest opportunity for credit unions in terms of boosting the income and therefore substantially off their card portfolios?
Sure, you know, it's, you know, one of our, you know, our tagline at Co-op is make every experience matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's it's capturing those experiences. And so being there for your member where they want to do business. Mm-hmm. So it might be card not present transactions like Netflix, Amazon, and making sure that you're the top of wallet, top of phone, top of app, however you want to look at it, right? Just being in that position. So looking at that, really at the individual merchant level, and ensuring that your product is optimized, your card product is optimized mm-hmm. to garner that activity. Mm-hmm. So making sure that we know that almost everybody has Amazon. So if your cards don't have Amazon, they're using somebody else's.
Oh, of course,
right?
They are,
and
yes.
So getting in that position.
Us included.
That's right.
On a daily.
Looking at, you know, Instacart and those sorts of things, and understanding the interchange income from different merchant types. But also what happens when a certain kind of member behavior, if somebody has Instacart, we've seen this in a case study where an Instacart, someone that uses Instacart is almost three times as much purchase volume, actually more than that, four times, mm-hmm. than someone who doesn't.
Really?
It's amazing. Wow. So just really understanding at the merchant level, mm-hmm. Again, the income stream, mm-hmm. but also mm-hmm. capturing that activity if they're not using certain merchants. Mm. And encouraging that use.
Because we really enjoy Instacart, so.
Right, yeah, so.
It's a little pricey, but, you know.
Right, so we looked at the segments, and so a member without any e-commerce, this was one case study, they spent about $300 a month on the debit card. The members with e-commerce but no Instacart, $600 a month. And then the Instacart user, $1,600 a month. It's amazing, right?
Wow.
So it's not just Instacart, right? It's the behavior of that member. If they use Instacart, they're also likely to, use DoorDash, Grubhub.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it's a bigger picture than just one merchant.
Okay, I got you what you're saying now.
So you're like, how do we get other folks to get into those kind of mm-hmm. patterns? Mm-hmm. Encourage them to use that it is safe and secure.
Yeah.
And there's other, you know, might be your phone bill or mm-hmm. I mentioned Grubhub, you know, those things, getting those cards in the top of wallet position.
Oh, interesting stuff. Oh my gosh. I mean, you're like a detective. Finding out all this type of stuff. It's so fascinating. I'll be perpetually interested in just, you know, member behavior, consumer behavior, and how they act and react to things going on in the environment and what's available to
them.
And to, you know, oh gosh, just the whole payments landscape, just how it's evolving.
It's amazing. Even the volumes, you know, so I think volumes are up 15% year over year, and it's just amazing that the volume of transactions and then really getting at the data to understand the income, but also really the true net income. So mm-hmm. getting the expense side, that's why those agreements are important, because mm-hmm. that's where the expense comes from.
Okay.
And then the income is driving that activity and even maybe incenting behavior mm-hmm. To get members to get those cards into those into the apps like Uber and others, right, to be the default card.
Yeah, I'm right in that. I'm right in that category you just explained, so that's me. Lastly here, before I let you go here,
sure.
So how is Co-op, how are you guys positioned to help credit unions optimize their card programs?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd say a couple things. Certainly one, our Smart Growth team, so that's a group of advisors that works with credit unions on their payment strategies, mm-hmm. and really we'll get at, like that case study I mentioned with Instacart, that came out of our Smart Growth team working with one of our issuers. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Really using the Smart Growth team to, you know, segment the card users population and create campaigns that drive behavior, but also it's important to think holistically about payments, and you don't want to be cannibalizing behavior. So in other words, you don't want to target certain folks to use your debit card if it means pulling away from the credit card, right, where there may be higher interchange.
So you
really have to be smart in how you do that. So we look at it holistically.
That seems like a science unto itself.
It is. It really is. And you know, so there's your resources, and then it's tools, right, like our Insight Center, which is developed by Co-op, really to analyze, you know, using the analytics to understand behavior, where the networks, you know, where is this activity going, and then digging deeper into the data to understand mm-hmm. the true net income.
Mm-hmm.
What are we earning? What are we paying? Mm-hmm. What does that net out to be?
And that benefits credit unions how? What's the end result there?
Well, certainly you want to drive activity to those maybe more profitable types of transactions. You want to capture everything, right? I talked about making every experience matter.
Right.
You want to capture all the payments activity.
Okay.
But if you can really drive towards maybe, let's say, higher interchange type merchants, and ensuring that you're capturing those transactions,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and again, not letting those fall out into some other vendor or institution or even fintechs,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
that are coming after certain
pieces
of the income stream. So. Really important to drive interchange. And we talked about non-interest income, how important it is. So that's why mm-hmm. those things are relevant. Smart growth, the tools, the data to really drive activity and capture as much of that interchange income as possible.
Right on. I learn something new every day, Rob. Thank you so much. That's awesome.
Thank you. I learned from you as well. So.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. So for sure. Good stuff. All right. Well, it's a symbiotic relationship we got going on
right,
here.
All right, sir.
Anything else to add, Rob?
No, I'm good. I really appreciate the time. It's great to see you in person, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Indeed. All right. Well done, sir.
Thanks, Mike.
Keep up the good work.